The following is Kyle Soucy's talk, Collaging, Getting Answers to the Questions You Don't Know How to Ask, from the 2012 Information Architecture Summit. The 2012 IA Summit podcasts are brought to you by User Interface Engineering and the UIE Virtual Seminar Program. Stay tuned after the podcast for a special offer from UIE.
Okay, everyone, we're going to get started. My name is Kyle Soucy, and I am an independent usability consultant. I specialize in user research and usability testing. My company name is Usable Interface, and I am here today to talk to you about collaging. What collaging is a user research technique. It's a needs elicitation technique that you can use as an alternative to doing a standard formal interview to get user research. What it entails is a participant actually looks at a collage of pictures, just a random set of pictures, which I have out here on this table. They just pick pictures that speak to them and represent how they feel about a certain topic. And then the moderator, myself, and the participant discuss why they chose those pictures. And there's a lot of great feedback that can be gained from it. So rather than just talk to you about collaging, what I'm going to do right now is just dive right in with a live demonstration. Okay, so in order to do this live demonstration, what I need is a volunteer. So first I'm going to screen the audience. Who has a Facebook account? Everybody better raise your hand. Keep your hands up. Okay, how many have had your account for at least 2 years? How many are on Facebook at least once a week? Once a day? Multiple times a day. Do you mind coming up? What's your name? Lindsay. Everybody, let's give Lindsay a round of applause. Yay! Follow me. Okay. So Lindsay is nice enough to do this demo for us. This will be a very fun activity, I promise you. So Facebook, as we know, this is somewhat kind of what it looks like. Here's a picture of my Facebook page from probably a year ago. It's changed a lot because not only the content has changed, but Facebook changes all the time, whether we want it to or not. And whether we like it or not, whether we love it or not, Facebook seems to be in our lives. And I know for me personally, Facebook is something that I use a lot because, you know, I'm part of like a mother's group and they just seem to only want to communicate through Facebook, or my family. It's like, if you're not on Facebook, I have no clue what's going on with anyone anymore. So it's a necessary evil in my life. So we're going to use Facebook as the subject matter for our research. So I am an employee of Facebook right now, and I'm going to do user research on Facebook. And I want to learn more about what a Facebook user's experience is with using Facebook. So what I'm going to have you do is create a collage that reflects your current experience using Facebook. So here you see a lot of different pictures. And as you can tell, there's really no running theme throughout them. They're very random. I want you to take your time and just look at each picture and think about them and pick out pictures that really represent your experience with Facebook.
Am I picking individual pictures?
Yes. No, you just pick individual pictures.
Oh, and I have them.
There's stickers. There's just a sheet of stickers. And you just peel them off. And what I'm going to have you do is there's some paper here. You can just put the pictures wherever you want. And after you've selected a picture, I want you to write a caption that kind of encapsulates why you picked it. And what we'll do is I'll let you do this. Take as long as you need. I'll check back in with you, and we'll discuss your collage afterwards.
Okay.
Okay, any questions at all? Yeah, yeah. And don't worry, it's not the nitty-gritty
so
stuff.
So you want me to peel them off?
You can, it's like a sticker, and then just stick it on the paper. And you can use the front, back, choose as many as you want, and just take your time. Okay, and it's Lindsay, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so while Lindsay is doing the collage, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it. Now, for those of you who can't see what Lindsay can see, this is a little bit of what she's looking at. Here are some pictures. Like I said, they're random. There is no rhyme or reason as to why I chose these pictures. Some are abstract, some are quite literal. Some, for many of you, could be provoking some strong responses. They could be funny, they could be sad or depressing. for different reasons, a lot of us will respond to pictures in different ways. And I think pictures are just a powerful stimulus. They evoke a lot of response. Music is a very powerful stimulus as well. So I like things like this because they trigger thoughts and feelings that somewhat could exist below our own level of awareness. So some of you could be saying right now, all right, you're playing this part of this Facebook employee who's doing research and wants to know more about current Facebook users and their experience using Facebook. Why in the world are you having them take the time to look through these pictures and create a collage? Why aren't you instead just sitting down with them and doing an interview and asking them point blank, what do you think of Facebook? It's a great question. And the answer is, sometimes the most important question is the one that is not asked. It's elicited. What I mean by that is, as researchers, sometimes we know exactly what we want to ask people, but we have a really hard time doing it. Maybe we don't know how to word it, maybe it's a sensitive topic matter, and we just have no clue how to ask the questions we want to ask. Sometimes it's quite the opposite. We don't have a clue what questions we should be asking. We don't know what the right questions are. So in that way, using this collage, the collage becomes a vehicle for the participant to talk about needs that might exist below their own level of awareness. And the collage becomes an icebreaker to the interview. It's really a way to just kind of kick things off. It's fun activity. And when you sit down with someone typically doing user research, if it's an in-person interview and it's a formal interview, you may sit down with some kind of clipboard or list of questions. It's a very sterile feeling. Nobody likes to be interviewed by someone where they're trying to learn more about them, and especially when they're complete strangers, right? You want to sit down and immediately build some kind of rapport. Well, this can be some kind of a fun activity to just kind of break that mold and get them doing something fun, and then have them start the conversation about something that they created. Okay, so this brings up a really good story. Anybody who knows me knows that I really love tattoos. And part of the reason why I love tattoos is because you learn so much about people when you ask them about their tattoos. I mean, think about it. If someone's choosing to ink themselves for the rest of their lives, I hope they have a really good reason for getting that tattoo. And you learn so much. And sometimes you learn really funny stories when they don't have a good reason for getting the tattoo. But as an example, I recently had to hire a new sitter for my son. And I found this great woman, she's 25, grad student, and we're just having this great conversation. I happen to notice she has a tattoo, and I'm like, you know, can I ask you about that? I'm just curious to know more. And she told me all about this amazing story about her five-year battle with cancer. And here's this girl, she looks healthy. I just would never have believed she had a five-year struggle with cancer, and she's a cancer survivor. So we had a big, long discussion about that. And then after she told me about that, I asked her, so by any chance do you have any other tattoos? And she did, ones that I couldn't see, and they actually were about her mother's struggle with cancer. So we had a whole nother conversation about her mother's struggle with cancer. And this is really amazing to me, because I probably would have never had this conversation had she not had the tattoo and I asked about it. So again, it's a stimulus, it's something to react to, and it's just a way to find out more about people. I don't have any tattoos, by the way, if you're wondering. Okay, so projective technique. Collaging is a projective technique. It is not new at all. This is not something that I had any hand in creating. This has been around for a long, long, long time. Its roots are in psychology. I'm just gonna give you a little history lesson real quick about projective technique. One of the most popular ones, Rorschach test. We've all pretty much seen these, the inkblot test. Created by Hermann Rorschach in 1921. Basically, the inkblot test is a tool that psychologists use to learn more about their patients and their motives, a little bit of a glimpse into their personality. You show the inkblot to the patient, and then you ask them what they think they see. And I think in the real inkblot set, there's only 10 inkblot cards. This gained massive popularity in the 1960s. Thematic apperception test, also known as TAT. In the TAT cards, there are 31 official TAT cards. I think this was created in 1931. And what's interesting about this is you're supposed to be able to learn more about a person by showing them this picture of a very dramatic scene. And the patient is supposed to create as dramatic a story as possible to explain that scene, the cause of that scene. So I can imagine, you probably, when people start thinking of something really creative, you're like, man, what's going on in your head? But kinetic family drawing, this got popular in the 70s. This is a technique that's used with children a lot of times when you're trying to get an idea for what their family life is like. You have them draw a portrait of their family doing something, hence kinetic. So this is supposed to give the psychologist a glimpse into their world. Sentence completion test. Again, this is like 1895 when this was started. Carl Jung's word association test. This is not new, all these projective techniques. So sentence completion tests, things like completing the sentence, I like, I need, I regret. If you start thinking about how you might answer some of those questions, you're like, wow, they're pretty revealing questions to answer. And these are all things we can do to learn more about people. Zaltman metaphor elicitation technique, also known as the ZMET. Now, this one was created more recently in the 1990s by a guy named Gerald Zaltman. What he was doing here is very similar to collaging, where instead of having people create a collage in the session, instead what they're doing is having participants do a little homework and going home, collecting images, some of them of their own taking or some of them maybe in their own family albums, and bringing them in to discuss something that relates to a certain topic. And the picture that you're seeing here is actually a picture from a documentary called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold by Morgan Spurlock. He's actually the guy that did Super Size Me. And he was making fun of movie making business and brands. And this technique is really good for figuring out brand identity and brand imaging and messaging. So I talked about how collaging can be used in other fields, or how it seems to be catching on in our industry. So it's getting out of psychology now, and we're seeing it in other areas, marketing. So as advertisers, marketers, they're always trying to see what kind of responses they're getting from ads. And I think this one, I don't know if you can really see it, but the lime is urinating in the soda. I don't know about you, but I'm not exactly dying for a Pepsi twist when I see this image. But, you know, this is a technique that they're using, like collaging, to see what people's responses are to images. And then also in another industry, believe it or not, management. Management are using projective techniques like collaging now to try and assess motives and learn more about their own employees. Sociology, so what are people's adoption to new programs, to new systems that are in place? Cultural anthropology, this one's kind of obvious with the studying of cultural meaning. Now, Gerald Zaltman, when he created the ZMET, what he did, he took a trip to Nepal, and he wanted to really document the experience in a unique way. He wanted the locals to take pictures of their just daily life, and then through an interpreter, he wanted to learn more about the pictures they took. And what he learned was a common theme running throughout is people were purposely chopping off the feet in the pictures of the people, and that's because in Nepal, bare feet is a sign of poverty and it's a poor stigma. He would have never learned that if he was just taking his own pictures, and if he happened to be talking to someone about their life through an interpreter, they might not have mentioned it because, you know, it's a poor stigma. So that's kind of where the ZMET was born. And finally, user experience. Now, some of you might be like, user experience, I have not heard of collaging before, I've never seen it done before by a UX person, what is she talking about? Believe it or not, it is slowly gaining momentum. There are some people who have been doing it for years. It's a great way to do user requirements gathering, but most importantly, it's just a way to gain empathy. It's an empathy building tool to learn more about your end users and their world and how to design for that world. That's how it's being used. Now, my experience personally with it has been with design agencies. So digital marketing agencies or design agencies that have their roots in marketing that see value in doing these other techniques like mood boards, like Angela mentioned to me earlier, or things like that. They see value in these kinds of methods, and so they've brought it into the UX world. So that's been my experience with it. I've worked with Digitas, Razorfish, Neiman Group, doing collages for them. And I think I'm hearing more and more people doing it in other areas, working internally in companies. So let's talk about Lindsay's collage and learn a little bit more about this technique. So in order for you to see her collage, what I'm going to do is take a picture of it. So we're going to talk about a few of them. I'm going to just use photo booth here, and unfortunately it's going to be a backwards picture. So that's it. Yeah. Oh, perfect. Okay. So what one would you like to talk about first? Anyone?
Yeah, let's talk about this
side. Okay. Yeah. So let me just take a picture of one of these.
Oh, okay.
Let's see this one.
Like if you took those two.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let me do these two here. Let me just take a picture. Okay. So for those of you, let's see here, let me move it down a little bit. Okay, so we have a picture of some messy wires, and then beneath that we have a lock with a key. So tell me about the wires picture. You put the caption, complicated, tangled, intricate.
Okay.
For Facebook.
Yeah.
So I've been on Facebook since spring of 2004. I was a junior in college when it came out at one of the universities that...
You were an early adopter.
I was a really early adopter. And so there's a lot of information about me on there. And when I went to graduate school and studied a lot about information design, information security, legal, IP stuff, I just became very conscientious of everything that was on there. And so I think it's really intricate. They make it very hard to create lists and make data private or available to certain lists. And after meeting a lawyer from the EFF last year in Buenos Aires, we talked about how she has a list for like my top 50, and only those people can see anything you post, and everyone else, even though you're a friend, they can't see anything on your profile. And that's how I manage my use of Facebook.
Okay, so lists. So tell me more, was it hard to create lists at first?
They make it extremely difficult. They've always made it difficult. They haven't made it any easier. I don't think that they really get strong ties, loose ties, and the fact that you share information with different circles. But I've been using lists for 5 years now, and they've made it slightly easier to kind of lock down and choose every time you post which group sees it. And generally, it's just no one sees it except for my top 75.
Now, at this point, she's talking about lists. So this is a perfect point for me to probe further on lists and say, okay, well, you said it was really hard. So give me a specific instance. Tell me about that experience. You know, talking about the person that you mentioned, diving a little bit more into that. So this is a subject matter that may or may not have ever come up if she didn't pick out this picture. I might have had it in a list for an interview, I might not have. But the fact that it came out organically, she had this problem, and this is unique to her. Maybe other people didn't have this problem. It's really great for her to talk about it from coming from that.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the key?
The key and the wires go together.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So let's do...
any of these really different things?
Let's try this. Yeah. I'm curious about this. Let's see here. Okay. So we got this. Okay. So...
just that one, yeah.
Okay, so we've got people kissing here. So tell me why you chose this picture.
I am a 28-year-old female, and all my friends are getting married and having babies. Oh. So this is like what most of my timeline looks like, is engagement photos, wedding photos, baby pictures, ultrasounds, like stuff I like. I was looking for the pregnant woman on here, you know, because some of my very good friends are pregnant right now. I'm posting those pictures, but I didn't see any pregnant woman photographs, so I went with this one.
See, now that's another great thing. I mean, talking about her own personal content, that's personal. I mean, getting to that, she brought it up. It gives me a segue into it that's a little bit easier. If I just were to ask her, okay, so what do you post on Facebook? Like, oh, let me think. I don't know. But this is something that evoked a response in her. It reminded her of all the people she's seeing posting all these baby pictures and whatnot. So it's a way in that I didn't manifest. I didn't push on her. It just came out naturally. So let's try one more here. There's
I love this one.
Okay.
I'd love to tell a story about that one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so they're holding hands. So tell me why you chose that one.
So in 2010, I took my first retirement and traveled around the world for 6 months. And I met a lot of amazing people, and Facebook has facilitated, you know, these friendships to last a lot longer than they would have without Facebook. Particularly, I think, not just for my personal friendships that now cross international borders, but also, I don't know if anyone else saw in the news this week, but it's very moving that an Israeli graphic designer created a group called Israel Loves Iran, and an Iranian created Iran Loves Israel, and a lot of citizens have been posting pictures of themselves with different graphic elements about not wanting to have war with each other and not liking the politicians' rhetoric, and I just have found following those two things this week very moving, and that conversation between these two people wouldn't normally happen without Facebook.
So some good does come out of it.
Oh, of course, lots of good, yeah.
So that's good. So, I mean, again, that's a very personal story about your own experience traveling and something that I might not have ever stumbled upon if I had these predefined questions. Thank you so much. So give her a round of applause. Okay, so that kind of gives you a glimpse, obviously, just a very small glimpse of how the method is done, what it's like. Again, does it fit every situation? Absolutely not. There are a lot of situations you may not want to be doing collaging. An in-depth interview is needed. Am I telling you to throw away your script entirely and never ask the predefined question again? Absolutely not. Of course not. I think a hybrid of the two really is a good idea. If you want to do some in-depth interviews, maybe start off with a collaging exercise. See where it leads, see what ground you cover, and if there are some need-to-know questions about certain features, you can ask them, you know, supplement the time with your predefined questions. It's up to you. You can really use it however way is best. But when is this technique most useful? Okay, so I want you to imagine having to do research on really personal, sensitive data. So having to talk with a complete stranger about something that's very sensitive. So I've done research for the companies that I mentioned before on cancer patients, on chronic pain patients, on women talking about their menstrual cycles and their feelings about birth control. So these are very personal topics, and it's not one where you just sit down with someone and say, hi, how you doing? My name's Kyle. I'm going to be talking to you today about your cancer. You know, like, tell me everything. It doesn't work that way. I find if you want to build rapport with someone and really understand the pain they're going through and really try and empathize and get a design team to as well, this can be a way to do that. So if a topic is taboo, if it's political, just, you know, if someone's going to be tight-lipped about it in any way, you might want to give this a shot. It might work for you. I'm not saying it always will, but it might. Okay, so let's look at some examples of some participant collages of those studies that I just mentioned. So this one is from the chronic pain study. Now, a participant picked this picture out and said, that's my daughter consoling me when I'm in pain. And we had a really great discussion about how her chronic pain affects her family members and what it does to them. And, you know, some of these conversations, believe it or not, led to tears. And it's really hard to get there, I think, in an interview. And what you have to realize, too, is with this, sometimes pictures can be very powerful, and people can start talking about something, and they don't want to continue. They picked out the picture, it's opening up something that they don't want to go down. So I think as a moderator, you have to be careful. If it is something sensitive you're talking about, maybe back off a little bit until they're ready to talk about it more, or they might just go for it and tell you a lot. What I learned personally from this study, I am ever so grateful for my health. Chronic pain patients, they have two options. They can live with pain 24/7. And this is pain that's just, it's not, you can just forget about it. You know, you're distracted and happy for a minute. It's always there. Or they can be heavily medicated and just live in this fog of just narcotics that they have to live on. So they're either a drug addict or they're living with pain. It hit home for me. I was spending 3 days with chronic pain patients doing this. Wow. Would I have gotten there with an interview? Possibly, but it was a really good experience. And I'll show you some more from it. This person here said from the chronic pain study, this is how I feel I have to stop work due to pain. So again, that led to a really great discussion about work, what their work environment's like, how it affects work. What does your boss think about you having to miss so much work because of your pain, you know, having to call out, what are your hospital bills, whatever it may be. It led to a really great discussion.
This was from a cancer patient. And I was blown away when I saw this on the collage. I was like, oh, I don't know how we're going to talk about this one. I'm like, why'd you pick out this picture? And she had the caption there, suicide. Now, I don't think suicide is something that you just talk about. I don't think it just comes out in a traditional interview. She saw this and it made her think of suicide and how she's contemplated it as an alternative to what she's going through. And that was really, again, treading very softly. When you're doing a collage, probing, you have to probe very delicately. Again, just because she picked this picture, that doesn't necessarily mean she may want to talk about it. So I really have to be aware of her body language, how comfortable she is going down that path, and just tread lightly, but it's great information. Again, this is when I'm in pain, I feel like I'm being swallowed up. Vomiting, this person took it quite literally. This is a cancer patient. We talked again about her side effects from her chemo treatments. This is a great quote by Gerald Zaltman that says, 95% of our thoughts and feelings are unconscious. And I really believe that's true. I think that until something triggers a feeling, a thought, sometimes you just need that trigger. For me, music really does it a lot. Sometimes it can take you back in time. It's almost like a diary of what you were listening to at that time in your life, and it just brings you right back there, just transports you right back. I think images can do that as well. I'm sure there are other stimuluses. And I just think it's neat to have a technique that we can possibly use to tap that. So let's talk a little bit about how to conduct a collaging study. You really saw it's very easy. First, choose your topic of interest. So I chose Facebook and I said, we were gonna learn about the current experience. So someone's current experience using a product. It doesn't have to be that. Let's say you're redesigning a website, right? Let's pick out pictures that reflect how you would and would not want that new website to approach you. How would you want it to communicate with you? What qualities would it have? You can talk about this, I guess you want to call it topic of interest, this statement, any way you want. You can use it for products that don't even exist yet. So a lot of ways to gather requirements and possibly just data about who your users are in their world. So once you've figured out your topic of interest, you want to create a collage board and get pictures. The pictures part is very important to get right. You do not want a running theme throughout your picture. So when someone's looking at all your pictures that are laid out before them, they're not like, oh, there's a nature theme going on here, or there's an animal theme, or a medical theme. You want them to be completely random as you saw. You can use newspaper clippings, magazine clippings, anything you want. There's a lot of good resources online for free images. There's morgfile.com, the Common Creative License on Flickr. You can use some of those. There's a lot of good resources. I usually just use stock photography pics. I've got libraries I can choose from. Anything works. Now the collage board, you can see with Lindsay's collage, I just had her use a piece of paper and I had her put them on there. I typically use 11 by 17 inch ledger paper, just bigger. And sometimes I'll divide the board in two and say, here's your positive collage, here's your negative collage. Like, here's pictures that reflect how I want the new website to approach me. Here's how I don't want it to approach me. Whatever you want to do. I've seen people using targets and people putting pictures closer to the middle of the target that hits home for them. Whatever works for you. You can get creative here. I also had them printed out on stickers, the images. And that's something that you can do. I don't know that I necessarily would continue using stickers. It's more expensive, number one. Number two, if someone peels it off and then they decide they don't want to, then you know it's kind of like it's already used. And another thing with the stickers is they're printed out on sheets. These were printed out at Staples. They're all on a sheet. And if someone picks one off, then you have to replace the whole sheet for the next participant. So it's kind of like a waste of paper. So I honestly think it's a little more work, but you could just print them out on regular paper and just cut them out and have individual ones. And you want 150 to 200 pictures. You want a lot of pictures. I think I only had about 80 or 90 there to choose from. That's just because it was a quick demo. Okay, moderating the study. Okay, so this takes about 20 minutes. What I prefer to do is leave the room. So typically when Lindsay was doing her collage, what I would have done is just left the room, let her get absorbed in the pictures, not feel any time pressure that I'm just sitting there waiting for her to finish. Nothing like that. I think it's better just to leave the room for like 10 minutes, re-enter, and just say, you know, whenever you're done, let me know. I'm just going to take some notes over here. And then again, I talked about already probing very carefully as you go.
Now, conducting the analysis piece, this is a little tricky. Sometimes people will take the images literally. Like, you'll have some marketing folks that are observing, and they'll be like, that's the picture we should have on the website. It's the woman going, yes. And that's the message we want to send. It's like, no, that's not the point of this study. The point isn't to pick pictures for the website or the product or the marketing material. The point is they picked that picture for a reason. And that's what we're reporting on. So as researchers, if you start doing this in your analysis, it really does not matter what pictures they chose. What matters is why they chose the pictures. That's what you're reporting on. It can be very interesting to see if people pick the same pictures. But it's even more interesting to see if they pick them for the same reasons or for very different reasons. Now, this is a pitfall you can avoid. This is a really gross and disgusting image of the heart that two different people picked out for the same study. When I asked them why they picked this picture, they just said, oh, it's gross, it's disgusting. I'm like, okay, and tried to probe a little more about that. They couldn't relate it in any way to the topic of interest. So what happened was the stimulus was just too much. It was just too powerful a stimulus. So what I do, I pulled it from the pool because they couldn't get beyond it. The stimulus was just blocking them. So that can happen sometimes. One other note, remote collaging. So some of you may be thinking, hey, can I do this remotely? I've never done it remotely. I don't think I would want to, because I mean, I would always prefer to be in person anyway. But just to let you know, if you do want to try it remotely, there is something called Buzzback eCollage. I have never used it, and this is really just the only tool that I know exists, so I just thought I'd let you know about it. If anybody does use it or has used it, I'm curious to know your thoughts. And that's it. Here's some resources. I wrote an article on this, pretty much outlines everything step by step, what to do, on Smashing Magazine. Book, Gerald Zaltman, I've mentioned him about 10 times in this presentation. His book, How Customers Think, I really urge you to get it if you're interested in this. A lot of good projective techniques are talked about. He talks about the ZMET. Customer Intimacy by Fred Wersimer is another good one. And of course, Malcolm Gladwell's Blink, if you want to learn just in general how people think. So thank you so much again for attending. And I think there's some time for some questions. I have some mic there.
I hope I can be a jerk and ask two hopefully quick ones since I have the mic. Do you have used the same stack of pictures for all projects? Do you have like a can set or do
I do
you?
Actually. Okay. I've gone through so many and I have a good random set. And sometimes I might throw in an extra sheet here and there, but really, yeah, once I found a good set that works for me, I stick with it, because it's completely random. There's no reason for it anyway. So
the gun picture, mm-hmm. in the context of the chronic pain was sort of like, whoa, that seems like that could be powerful. Was that intentional? Was that just one you had in the mix?
Oh, it was just totally random. Again,
oh, really?
There
oh.
are some pretty, you can take a look up here afterwards if you want. There's some pretty weird ones. Some could be murder scenes. There's a complete mixture. Some are just calm nature scenes. You know, that brings up a good point. I want to mention, too, that this can be done for insensitive or unsensitive topics too. I've actually done a study for Pennsylvania's Department of Transportation. They wanted to learn more about how people felt about their commutes. Talk about like a dull, boring, totally not really personal topic. But we used collaging for it and it worked out great. So it doesn't have to be these extreme, you know, cancer patients. Or something.
And one quickly and I'll relinquish. Can you use it for groups, like small groups?
Small
groups. I'm thinking of like a kickoff.
I'm not a fan of groups. Like I don't do focus groups. I'm one-on-one research is typically what I do, so I would not be a good one to ask. You probably could, but I don't know.
Hi, I'm Dave. I have used this technique only with groups simply because that's what my clients want, and I've done this in pharmaceuticals, and their patients usually have a terminal illness or something, and it's excellent because they're able to focus on the collage to tell an extremely difficult story. Of course, you're going to have group effects because they're building together. They see what each other are picking up. What's interesting, when I do the analysis, normally there is not a specific pattern. They seem to get into their own little worlds, and like Kyle, I don't like the sticker. I cut them out. So then it becomes like arts and crafts time.
Do you find, I'm curious to know, with the group, does somebody lead at all or like sway someone else?
So, great question. Usually what happens is we do this, that's the very first activity. It's usually during a panel over a weekend when the patients all come together in one city. And the marketing team for the drug is there, and this is their first interaction. We do this right off the bat. And it's really more, I think, for the panel to get to know one another. But the content is just awesome when you analyze it. What I typically find works really well is you ask someone to volunteer, and then it just is like dominoes. Everybody wants to tell their story.
Okay. So. Hi. Yep. I was just wondering if you've ever used this with children, and is it effective or too abstract?
No, I have not used it with children yet. I think it would be phenomenal. Children are great. I've only had one study that I've done with children. It was a usability test. They tell you what's on their mind. This sucks. Like, they are not reserved at all. I don't know that it's as necessary as with adults, because adults are just kind of like, you got to pry a little more to get the information out of them. It might be more useful for adults for that reason. Kids, I think, would gravitate to it because it's just pictures and stuff, but I don't know that it's as needed.
I wondered, thinking about it, if it's too abstract for them, that they would pick pictures for reasons that they couldn't tell a good story around because
possibly
of just the funness of making a collage.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, like, oh, I just thought it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could not get into it. That's possible.
Thank you. This is great.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Hi. How do you know that the photos you're selecting don't introduce a bias?
Oh, they probably definitely do. I think every method has its flaws. Testing, usability testing, you know, it's a test. It's going to be biased. We can control the level of bias by making sure we have the right participants, making sure we don't have pictures that have a theme in them, that you're obviously pushing them towards negative or positive. I think the key in this method is to have as random a set of pictures as possible to try and eliminate that, so you can say, hey, I've presented them with, you know, everything, and this is what they zeroed in on. But you know what? Bias is there. You know, it might introduce something. In my experience, though, I've found that unless someone can give me a darn good reason as to why they picked that picture that relates to the topic, I don't include it in my analysis. If they did something like, well, I just picked it because it was just gross, or whatever it could be, if they can't relate it back and giving me some good feedback as to who they are and how this relates to the research that I'm doing, then I don't use it. You have to kind of pick and choose the feedback that you're getting. But it can happen. Absolutely it can.
Kyle, if you ever get tired of this UX consulting thing, I think you would make a great therapist. But my question is about informed consent. In my consent form, it says, to the best of our knowledge, there are no physical or psychological risks for this study.
Yeah.
And I see potential psychological risks here.
Ah, well, you know, that's a very good point. I've actually never had that terminology in the consent form.
Oh, so you don't get informed consent.
Oh, no. We get informed consent, but it's about, you're going to be videotaped. Do you mind being videotaped?
But the nature of the session, about the types of things they'll be asked to do and to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never actually had that in there. Maybe we're breaking some laws by not having it in there, but I've had pharmaceutical clients as well, and they do a lot of research with people talking about sensitive stuff. And usually I'll just use whatever boilerplate, like, what do you typically use for your clients? That's what I use. That's a very good point, and something I'm probably going to ask about now. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yep.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the 2012 IA Summit. The IA Summit podcasts are sponsored by the UIE Virtual Seminar Program, with scores of online seminars your team can access on demand. For free access to a virtual seminar, visit uie.com/IAS12. And you can find the rest of the IA Summit podcasts at library.iasummit.org.